Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Some bright morning when this life is all that way to our land on God's blessed shore.
Successful radio program, our three-hour tribute show to Bill Roman, our friend and co-host, our brother. He wasn't a friend. He was our brother. He passed away earlier this week. Keith Alexander, myself, James Edwards, and Political Cesspool longtime co-host Winston Smith. We're on with you during the first hour as we just begin to scratch the surface of the man that Bill was. Keith has now left the studio. We will be hearing from many more people over the course of the next 2 hours as Winston continues to co-host with me. One of those men, Art Frith, he was the Political Cesspool's producer also during those early years, 2004 through 2007, a time when Bill was working behind the scenes to make sure that we were going on the right path. And again, his contributions it couldn't be possible to overstate or exaggerate the role Bill has played in the development of this show. But Art also played a very big role. And Art couldn't be with us live this evening because, unlike our liberal foes, he has to work for a living, so he is working tonight. But he did tape a tribute for Bill, which we'll play now, and then we'll get Winston's thoughts on. Let's roll the tape of Art.
For those in the audience who may not know who this voice belongs to, I'm Art Frith, known as the Chief, or as Winston Smith crowned me, the Lord of the Board. I served as disciplinarian for James and producer and board engineer for the show in its infancy back in 2005 and guided it to the professional sounding program you hear today before I left in 2007. This week started off on a sad note for the Political Cesspool family as Bill Roland was called home. I first met Bill during the early days when co-founder Austin Farley and Jess Bonds were regulars. Bill brought a keen sense and insight to the show when it came to Southern heritage and history. He was a true leader in the Southern conservative movement. Bill was a great listener, but he could also ask hard-hitting questions of our guests. He also helped me keep Baby Boy in line when he was at the WLRM studios after I left. Bill was with us when Jim Gilchrist and fellow members of the Minuteman Project were in studio during a time when the Political Cesspool was the only radio program providing in-depth interviews and the truth about what was going on along our southern borders. When James would go off on one of his many vacations, otherwise known as a weekend trip to stalk Frankie Valli down at Epcot in Florida, Bill was there to fill in as host. And for those who might not know, we were a Monday through Friday, 3-hour-a-night show back then. The guests Bill played a role in hosting and interviewing were numerous, to say the least, and did not always include politics. There was the night Barry Schwartz, an expert on the Shroud of Turin, was our guest, and turned out to be a great informative interview on one of the most controversial topics in Christianity. Then there was Dr. Sam Francis, Michael Andrew, Peter Bermelo, and one of my favorites, Jared Taylor. However, the interview that sticks out most in my mind was the second part of our two-part interview with Lieutenant Godfrey Dulius, a German Luftwaffe pilot who fought the Allies during World War II. This interview was so popular that it's been aired a number of times as one of our best of shows, and for good reason.
I am honored and excited to be part of the interview with Lieutenant Gottfried Dulias, formerly of the Luftwaffe, who was a fighter pilot in World War II. And I'm very excited about this interview. Lieutenant Dulias, are you on the air?
I am here, right.
Well, I am an amateur historian of sorts. I guess that is even bragging a little, but one of my hobbies over the years has been the study of fighter pilots, World War II pilots, and Luftwaffe pilots. So this is really a great treat for me, and I look forward to this interview and asking you some questions, mainly about your career. I know the last interview that you had on the show, the last time you were a guest on the show, we talked about your horrific experience as a prisoner of war of the Russians and the cruel treatment you received at the hands of the communists. Tonight, if you don't mind, we'd love to focus on your career as a pilot and some of the things that maybe people don't know about the Luftwaffe and the equipment you use and so forth.
Okay, that's okay with me.
And then again, of course, we want to talk some more about your book towards the end here. One of the things I wanted to ask you, Lieutenant Dulias, I understand that towards the end of the war, as the war drew to a close, that there was some problem, particularly getting fuel for your airplanes. Were you ever grounded, or did you have to restrict your operations because of lack of fuel in your fighter plane?
Yes, many a times. We couldn't fly because we had no Sprit. We call it Sprit, you know. And so we were laid off. We couldn't fly. There was nothing there. And also other days when we have bad weather, then we couldn't fly because most of us young pilots there did not have any instrument training because they needed pilots so badly on the front door that as soon as you came off the air academy and could fly a plane and you could shoot, then they sent you to the front.
Bill was a member of the Council of Conservative Citizens and worked hard to support the fundamental principles of American civilization, liberty, justice, and national safety, and truly believed with all his soul that the United States is a Christian nation above all. His critics would call Bill Roland a racist, but I'm here to tell you he was not. One national talk show host is called a great American. However, in my opinion, if any of us are worthy of being called that, Bill Roland was just that and a great true Southern gentleman. It was always a great time when I had the opportunity to sit around and talk with Bill, and those memories will not soon fade from my mind. We have lost a true leader, and I've lost a good friend. More than a hard worker and defender of Southern heritage and principles, Bill was a soldier in the fight for conservatism. He was a devoted family man and Christian. With his passing, his wife has lost a devoted, loving husband, and their children a great father and role model. Once Bill gets through all of the end processing there is to do in heaven, I know he will roll up his sleeves and get a radio studio together and have things ready for when the rest of the political cesspool team begins to arrive. And oh yeah, there's one other thing. Bill will have St. Peter prepare a restraining order against James Edwards so that Frankie Valli can have peace and quiet finally when the time comes. I know Bill is listening to this show tonight. Rest easy, Bill. You've earned it in spades.
The highlight of the show, as far as I'm concerned. Art Frith, I salute you, my friend, and I'm sure Bill does as well. We're going to take a break and get Winston's thought on Art's tribute right after this.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number's 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Let us labor for the master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then we'll all of life is over and our work on earth is done. And the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. And the road is called up yonder,
get to heaven and see Bill again, I'll have to ask if he, as a Lutheran, took issue with me playing all of these songs out of the Southern Baptist hymnal tonight for his tribute show. But as far as I'm concerned, it's fitting music. And I'm, in all seriousness, sure he agrees. As Art Frith mentioned, Bill is listening to this show tonight. And I turn it back over to my co-host, Winston Smith. Winston, I'm sure you were able to read that which Art had to say in his taped tribute for Bill. It was classic Art, was it not?
That was the first phrase that came to my mind not long into what he was saying. We got to have him on more often.
Well, he's the chief. He's the lord of the board. As he mentioned, you coined him that. Well, he's just great. It's not about Art. This show's about Bill. But, I mean, if it was about Art, we could go for 3 hours and more about him as well. But I really thought, I mean, his tribute was classic Art. And if you use a little bit of humor, but a lot of seriousness, too. And everything he said about Bill was spot on.
It was great. I wish I could have heard it. I remember, I think, Art's voice. But, yeah, everything he was saying was just right. You know, it's hard doing a show about a death in the family. I'm having a difficult time with this.
Well, I had a week to steel myself for this. You know, it's nothing to brag about or be shamed about when you break down over the loss of a loved one. I don't believe prior to this week that I had just broken down and been inconsolable since the death of my maternal grandmother. She was the last of the four grandparents that I had, and she passed away in 2004. But my wife was in my home office this week. I have spent more time preparing this show than I had any show over the course of the run of the entire program. I mean, and it's the honest to God's truth. We always put a lot of effort into each show. I think every show is golden, but this show I really poured and obsessed over. And as I was putting the music together for this week's show, I was sitting in my office and I just involuntarily broke down. And she was there, you know, to hug me and comfort me, but it's hard to do. I was able, and I know Winston, you're out of town. You live away from Memphis now, but you know, I was able to go through the visitation and of course go to the funeral itself and kind of get all this out of my system prior to tonight. This is, I guess, your first initiation in it as far as, you know, publicly goes. But you know, two of the last things I was able to do for Bill was to be a witness to his last will and testament, and I was able to sign that document, and I was able to be a pallbearer. And I tell you, those are the two greatest, two of the, you know, in a, you know, aside from being married to my wife and being the father of my daughter, probably two of the greatest honors I've ever had.
That I think when you told me you were going to be a pallbearer, I texted back and said something like, "What a terrible honor!" And I've been a pallbearer at many funerals for many good people, to have done it at Bill Rowland's funeral would have been very, very difficult, and at the same time, very honorable. It's one of the things I imagine you were proud of doing, but you hated doing. Is
exactly.
Right?
Well, I couldn't describe it better. It truly was. I was so proud to be able to carry him to his final resting place, but hated that it had to be done at all. But I want to tell you in the audience something, Winston, because I know you couldn't be there in person. But at his funeral, it was outside, and as Keith mentioned, rural, a very rural setting. As we took his coffin to the plot, it began to snow. And it hadn't snowed in Memphis all year, but it began to snow, the first snow of the winter, as we put our hands on his casket. And as soon as the graveside service was over, it stopped snowing.
It seems like there was an example in nature of what was going on in the physical. My gosh.
It was incredible. I mean, it was, you know, you can't script something like that. The fact that it had not snowed all winter in Memphis, and then it snowed just in that moment, and actually snowed a little bit more today, but there was the first snow of the year at that time. We've got a picture of Bill up on the website for the promotion of tonight's tribute show. And it's a picture of Bill, and it's a picture his wife took. And I know it's a picture that he was very proud of because he wanted it to be the picture that we put of him on the website. And it's a picture of him in his backyard with a wounded bird sitting on his shoulder. And someone wrote a very fitting comment about that picture. And it says, "This picture of Bill speaks volume about his gentle spirit. We see a precious little bird sitting comfortably on his shoulder, safe and secure from the many threats of this world. Bill smiles knowing he is doing something to make this world better, not only for all of us, but for nature as well. As illustrated in this image, Bill shows us that he fully rejoiced in this sort of welcoming and endearing insight, and we have to assume that this precious little bird knew it firsthand." Bill was a warrior, Winston. He was a fighter, but he also had a gentle hand and a loving heart.
Oh, that's true. And by the way, folks, if you want to see that picture of Bill, you go to the website and you click on the button that says "Crew," and go down, and there's the man himself with the bird. And that's what could not the man be? He could be a bare knuckle fighter 1 minute. He could be a writer and editor the next minute, and then he could be a naturalist the next minute, taking care of wounded birds.
But he never contradicted himself, did he?
Oh no, not at all. He was a unity. We're not claiming that Bill was anything like perfect. He would be the first to admit that. But as far as being consistent men, he was an example. As I keep saying, he was one man. He was one person. And it all worked together. And it just goes to show what you can do, what you can be, if you just take your life seriously. And Bill knew that there was going to come a day, there's going to come a day for each of us when we're going to close our eyes for the last time. And, you know, we don't have a lot of time on this earth. Even if we go to our full life expectancy, it's not a very long time. And in Bill's case, it was terribly cut short. But he honestly used his time well. I can't imagine him having any regrets before he lost consciousness. I think he was proud of the work he had done, and rightly so.
Well, he was, Winston, and with that, we've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to one of Bill's in-laws. Stay tuned.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. to get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arm, I have blessed peace with my Lord so dear. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure.
Met and seen with his own eyes the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. James Edwards Winston Smith co-hosting the remainder of the show. Now joining us on the line is Franklin Sanders, a prominent member of the League of the South, an organization which Bill was very fond of. And also, Franklin, a relative-in-law of Bill. Tell us how that was.
Well, Bill married my daughter's my sister's daughter, so he married my niece.
There you go. And so
he used to delight in calling me his uncle, even though he wasn't that much younger than I was.
Well, I'm sure he counted you as one because I know the kind of man you are, and you are exactly the kind of man that Bill would want to know, befriend, and be related to. Bill would often tell me of the times he would go up and visit you. Share with us your thoughts on the life in times of William Albert Roland III.
Well, I can't remember when I first met Bill. It was must have been before 96, and I'm sure it was in that Memphis group of the Sons of Confederate Veterans. And one of the things about Bill that stood out was his boldness. Bill was a lot more Forrest than he was Lee. nobody would ever accuse Bill of suppressing his true opinion. He was most forthright in telling you what he thought, and he wasn't ashamed to call a coward, and I don't mean behind his back, I mean to his eyeballs. And I don't know that Bill was always right, but he was certainly always sincere, and he always stood for what he believed. And the thing is, there are a lot of idiots who stand, ill-informed idiots who stand for what they believe, and what they believe is wrong. Or their opinions are only half-formed. Bill was not that way. Bill knew what he believed, and he knew why he believed it. And that required effort. That required labor.
Franklin, let me say that it was indeed an honor, first of all, to see you on Friday and to be able to shake your hand after so many exchanges online and elsewhere. But and I'm happy that you're on the program this night. You mentioned Bill's involvement in the SCV. You know, I said earlier in the show that it has been certainly my esteemed honor that for the last 8 years, Bill poured in the primary focus of his activism with this radio show, and that he chose us as his outlet. But certainly his activism predates his involvement with our show by many, many, many years, both in the Council of Conservative Citizens and the Sons of Confederate Veterans, where he was affectionately known as Wild Bill. Some of the people have commented on his activism in the SCV, and here's one of them. A writer opines that, and I'm reading this verbatim, and I quote, "I first met Bill at a national SCV reunion in Chattanooga back in the 90s. The reunion was having its usual flag dispute with the local authorities. The rank and file were ordered to keep quiet while the Eat, Meet, and Retreat leadership, quote-unquote, handled things, i.e. surrendered. Bill would have none of it, and he defied the ban by speaking out. This infuriated the leadership, who demanded his censure. He was censured well enough, though some of us yelled nay as loudly as we could. Bill, though, took it in his usual good humor, but watching him, I knew what Ibsen meant when he wrote, "The strongest man in the world is the man who stands most alone." Bill was a stalwart. And again, Franklin, that doesn't even begin to cover it, but it is a point well taken.
Well, that's right. That's the way it was. And anyone who was in the SDV in those years, and I was, I no longer am, knows that there was a battle between people who either did not understand or were too cowardly to stand for the South, and the rest of us. And Bill right in the front of that fight. I personally can't understand how people can live with the sort of contradictions that a lot of those folks live with. I wish them well. I don't want to say anything bad about them, but I can't understand how anybody who's a Southern patriot can begin SCV meetings with a Pledge of Allegiance to the United States flag. That just, you know, that's just this socialist Unitarian pledge that completely contradicts everything our forefathers stood for. What is that about? I don't get it. Well, Bill wouldn't stand for that sort of nonsense.
Well,
Bill would just out and tell people, listen, that, you know, you're wrong. And again, the good thing about it was Bill didn't just have an uninformed opinion. He could tell people why. He could reason through it and explain why things were the way they were.
Franklin, let me say this with regards to the SCV. I want to read now a comment from someone who first met Bill at local chapter meetings here in Memphis of the DS Job Camp, which was the SCV unit that Bill was involved in. Listen to this. This was a man who met Bill in the SCV, and it just gives you a brief glimpse into the impact that Bill made on people's lives. Here's what this person had to say. I've read many histories on Nathan Bedford Forrest. I've read none on Bill Rowland, but one should be written. I think their lives would complement each other in many ways. Both were authoritative and exact in details. Bill knew his facts and wasn't scared, as we used to say, to present them forcefully. His love for God, family, and country was his code. He maintained it, true to his word, true to God. Bill never wrote a book, but if he did, we all should have read it. His book was open and lived out in his life. Remember it. We need soldiers like him, many more of them, today more than ever. He was the consummate warrior, today's D.S. Job. I learned more at those meetings of the D.S. Job Camp, SCV, than I learned in 6 years of college, thanks to Bill's presentations. Most institutions of learning just don't teach the truth today. Bill was the natural-born teacher. Teachers are born, not made. You either are or you aren't. Bill was. No teacher's college or Marxist so-called normal school could teach him anything, but he had a lot to teach them. Why did God take him? In perfect love, God wanted to. Bill's time was set. It was time for Bill to go to heaven. It wasn't a retreat. It wasn't an advance. It wasn't a march to the sound of the battle. Bill went to the sound of God's call. He didn't march into heaven. He came by the grace of God because of the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Kinsman Redeemer. By grace, Bill entered in, head bowed and eyes aglow, as he cast his gaze upon the face of the Savior. No greater testament can be made than Bill loved Jesus Christ and served him by the grace of God. Franklin, that was something that was written by a man who met Bill at SCV camp meetings. Think of, I mean, first of all, you reflect on how beautifully written that was. That came from the heart of a man who knew Bill. That is the kind of passion and response that Bill elicited from men.
Well, I think there's something that's even more noteworthy about that phrase, and that is that, you know, talk is cheap. We can talk about believing in God. We can talk about our faith in Jesus, but what do you do when things go crosswise? What do you do when things don't go your way? What do you do when bad things happen to you? And Bill got cancer, and I will never forget, he came over here for my son-in-law's ordination as a deacon. And
he was a light. I don't know any other way to say it. His face was glowing. His countenance was just on fire. And even though he had been fighting cancer, and at that point it seemed that he had beaten it, he was just on fire with trust in God. And every blow that Providence had landed on him only drew him closer to God. Now, if I could say that about myself, I would be most satisfied.
Franklin, I want to thank you for coming on this evening. Thank you for making time available. And again, it was such a pleasure to see you on Friday at the services. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
James, thank you very much. I'm glad to do it. God bless you.
Franklin Sanders, everybody. We'll be back with more right after this.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. You know, it's a sad day for us, but a glorious day for Bill Rowland. He is in heaven now with Jesus Christ, with Robert E. Lee, with his father, who preceded him in death. Bill Rowland is a happy man tonight. It leaves a gaping void in our hearts and in our lives. But this is a show celebrating Bill's life. And so, that, you know, hence the upbeat music that we're trying to play here that really focuses on where Bill is now. And going forward, it's going to be hard, but we'll do it in his memory, and we'll do it as a result of his legacy. We'll do it because that's what he would have wanted. He put so much time and effort into this show, and this show will go on. It might not be as good without him. I don't think it will be. I don't think I will be as effective without his counsel, but we're going to do our very best because Bill always gave his very best to us. Winston, bringing you back on now, anything that Franklin Sanders said in that last segment that really stuck out in your mind?
I like what he said about Bill calling someone what they are to their face. It reminded me of the way you handled that situation down in Florence, Alabama, during that CFCC conference. But that's just the way he was. He was not afraid to tell you what he thought about you to your face. He was a courageous man. He was not a coward. If something needed to be said, he said it. If something needed to be done, he did it. He was a man of action. He was a man of thought, and he was an articulate man.
Well,
by the way, James, one thing, you know, Bill gave us our first slogan, our first motto, if you will: no retreat, no surrender, no apologies.
Well, he certainly did, and it was very fitting of this show, and it was very reflective of who he was and the kind of mentality he was instilling here. You know, we are the sum of all of our parts. We all have a role we play on this show, but when you put it all together, what you get is a result of all of us pulling in that same direction. While I think it's obviously been stated tonight that his imprints on this show are just unmistakable. And it was unmistakable in the hearts and minds of the listeners too, Winston. You were reflecting on the comments that came in, that poured in from all over the world upon learning of Bill's passing. And we're going to read a few of those now. How we're going to do this, Winston, is I'll read a couple, you read a couple, I'll read a couple, you read a couple. We can't read them all because you're talking about, you know, a couple of hundred comments, but we'll read a few, and that's how we'll do it until time runs out this hour, and then we go on into the third and final. But before we get to the comments of the listeners, Winston, just quickly, and I mean very quickly, share your thoughts on the outpouring of love and affection from the Political Cesspool's listenership.
We have the best listeners. We have the best audience in the world. They are people who truly know how to love people who they might not have ever even met. Our listeners love Bill Rowland, as they should, and the depth of the comments and the sophistication, the articulation of the comments, even the simplest ones, the shortest ones, they are all so profound, very inspiring.
Well, it reflects well upon the audience that we work and fight for. We have an outstanding, truly all-American, well, not all-American, all-world audience, because they came in from so many countries. But we'll read a few here. If you want to read them all, folks, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. But here's a sampling. Listening to Bill on this show was one of the highlights of my life. That may sound over the top, but it's true. I always got excited when James would announce that Bill was in the studio. I wish I could have met him in person and shaken his hand. He was a man's man. Another listener writes, hearing Bill deliver commentary on the radio was drinking a fine wine. His intelligence and precise delivery pierced the heart of any given issue. I stand and salute the man who taught me so much. God bless you, Bill Rowland. Another listener says, I had the privilege of interacting with Bill via the internet periodically over the course of the past 4 years. It's always a pleasure to have his input, as well as hear him pour his heart and soul out over the radio airwaves. Bill was a warrior for Christ, never afraid to stand his ground. A true hero whose legacy will reach far into future generations. May God continue to bless the Roland family, and may they be comforted knowing that he is in the presence of our Lord. Also, the political cesspool has lost a great voice, and the world has lost a good man all too soon. Yet I know that despite this all, you shall carry on stronger and braver for the memory of Bill Roland. And certainly we will. Winston, I have many more to read, but I know you have a lot of favorites as well. Well, they were all favorites, but share a few that really caught your eye with the audience now, if you would.
It's difficult to choose which ones stand out. They all stand out, really. I guess someone could say, well, if they all stand out, then none of them stand out. You know what I mean. Here's one. I had the privilege of interacting with Bill via the internet periodically over the past 4 years. It was always a pleasure to have his wise input, as well as to hear him pour his heart and soul out over the radio waves. Bill was a stalwart warrior for Christ, never afraid to stand his ground. A true hero whose legacy will reach far into the future generations. May God continue to bless Clan Roland, and may they be comforted knowing he's in the presence of our Lord. And another one. I am so saddened to read this morning. There's no doubt that he is happy right now, since we all know where he is. He made his faith in Christ very obvious on the show, and he was a powerful defender of Christianity. At the CFCC conference last year, I got to meet him, and he acted like a perfect gentleman when he and James invited me up to the microphone during the broadcast. He was in such good spirits despite his condition. I hope I can be that way, too, when it's my time to go. God bless Bill, his family, and the political cesspool staff during this time. You know, James, so many of these comments, there are people expressing concern and well wishes for us, too. They know that we have had a death in the family. And I want y'all to know that I appreciate the comfort that you have been giving us. It's truly inspiring. I thank you. We have the greatest audience in the world.
We do, and it just continues on. It continues on so much. Another listener writes that I long admired Bill Roland from a distance. He was a sage, sophisticated, upholstered in the genial affability of a regular man. I was delighted when Bill was on the political cesspool, and I must confess that I profited hugely from his insight of the issues affecting our nation. A few years after becoming a fan of the show and of Bill Roland, I had the fortune of meeting Bill at a Council of Conservative Citizens conference. We spoke for several enjoyable and enlightening hours, during which, thankfully, I thanked him for his service to our people. Listeners from France, Winston, Sweden, Denmark, other places from around the world who had been touched and impacted by Bill Roland. If I can find some of those comments, I'd like to read them. Here are a couple. Condolences from France. Even though an ocean was between us and we didn't know each other, we were both fighting together with the ones sharing our hope and convictions for the same cause. Another listener says this, Winston. I am a fan from Denmark who rarely misses a show. Even though we were a world apart and have never met or talked to one another, I felt as though Bill was family. I got to listen to him, and that was more than enough. Condolences from me and my family. Bill's insights inspired across the Atlantic all the way to Sweden, where he will be missed. Winston, again, you're talking about hundreds of comments. We could go on and on and on.
We certainly could. And I think we're going to be seeing more comments added as the weeks go by, because people are going to miss Bill's influence and his presence on this show. One commenter said, I was greatly saddened to learn of the news of Mr. Roland's departure. He will be greatly missed. I pray for the comfort and strength of his wife and family. He was a tenacious defender of what he believed in. We need more men like him. He will be received by his people in heaven. As another great Southerner said, let us cross over the river and rest beneath the shade of the trees. Is that a Stonewall Jackson reference? Another commenter says, he was an important man to have influenced many of us. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Let me try it again. He was an important man who influenced many of us and impacted our struggle in ways we may never fully realize. But more importantly, he was loved. I met him briefly last year. I was attending a Council of Conservative Citizens conference, and due to persistent adversity in my life, I was feeling inadequate and depressed. I withdrew from the crowd for a few minutes of introspection and rambled down to the coffee lounge. After a few minutes of brooding, a vibrant, bright-eyed man plopped down next to me and began talking. Yeah. Music? Okay.
Well, we'll continue on that. I'm going to try to get back to some of the – well, the writer there talks about how Bill came and sat down by him and comforted and inspired him really beyond articulation. We're going to try to read some more comments at the tail end of the third hour, but coming up in the final hour, folks, we're going to hear from Sam Bushman, owner of Liberty News Radio. He's going to share his thoughts on Bill Rowland and what it was like working with Bill, members of the Council of Conservative Citizens, and political cesspool co-host Eddie the Bombardier Miller, all coming up in the third hour. Stay tuned.